Well, my name is Penny and I'm the founder of the Clean and Tidy Home Show. Would love to hear from you today, hear how your morning's going so far. Any moment now, we're going to be joined by the lovely Claire Flaxon, who was due to be on a live with us last month, but couldn't make it. So we're going to be talking all about how life indeed happens, as well as our theme for this month, which is Give Yourself Grace. So really looking forward to hearing from Claire. Good morning. Really good to see so many of you joining so far. If you've got any questions or comments for us, please do pop them in the chat. But if nothing else, we'd just love to hear from you and hear how you're doing. So bear with me while I just get Claire online, and hopefully Instagram will be my friend. I've turned all other Wi-Fi devices off, so hoping we'll be good connection wise. Just bear with me. So hopefully Claire should have just been invited to join with any luck. Keeps doing this thing at the moment where I can't actually see the person that joined. So I need to keep an eye out for a little notification. They joined video, but actually I can't see them. But I'm hoping I'll be able to see Claire today, as long as you can. Claire, I'm not sure if you're getting a little request to join, but if not, you should be able to request it yourself. Yes, which you have just done. It doesn't matter now. We'll be able to see Claire. Dun, dun, dun. You'll have to bear with me because I've been slightly losing my voice, but I'm hoping it will survive. And there she is. We are live.
It worked.
How are you, Claire?
I'm really good, Penny. It's very lovely to see you again.
Oh, likewise. I'm really pleased. I was just saying, a lot of the time at the moment for lives, Instagram doesn't let me see the other person, but I can see you, which is super, super exciting.
It's so much easier, isn't it, than talking to a non-face.
It's so true. It's so true. So Claire, before we dive in, do you just want to give a quick introduction, tell people a little bit about you?
Sure, happily. So first and foremost, I am a cognitive behavioural therapist. I was fortunate enough to train at the birthplace of CBT at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia when I used to live in America. I'm London-based now. And so I do one-to-one therapy in a private practice, and I work with people on all sorts of things from confidence, anxiety, trauma, self-esteem issues, all sorts of things. But what I also love to do with the CBT skills is teach mindset strategies. And in particular, mindset strategies to business owners, entrepreneurs, creatives, anyone with a big idea and an ambition who knows that their mindset is often the make or break of whether we go out there and get on and achieve the things we really want to do in life. So that's me in a nutshell.
Well, for me, it's just sorting out my home every day. That can be a thing that's harder than launching the Clean and Tidy Home Show, whereas actually my home can be even harder than doing something like that.
It really crops up in all aspects of life, doesn't it? The way we are thinking, the beliefs we're holding, the blocks that are getting in our way. That's a big reason why I love mindset work, because you can apply it to anything in your life that you know you're feeling stuck with and you would like to change.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. Now, you were supposed to be joining us a couple of weeks ago, Claire, but life happened, which was so ironic because that was what we were going to be talking about.
I know, you really couldn't make this stuff up, could you? So yeah, I was supposed to be joining you a couple of weeks ago, and then I have a 10-year-old daughter who woke up with a stomach bug in the middle of the night. And I was still hopeful, and I was like, no, I can do this, it's fine, she'll be a bit better, and I can just sort of park her for a little while and we'll chat and it'll be fine. And yeah, no, it wasn't. So it really was life happens in action, where we had to rejig things, and you were very gracious about it all, so thank you very much, because yeah, life does happen and we need to know how to deal with it, don't we, without adding to our woes and stress by getting all twisted up by it. And we just do the best that we can.
How do you help your clients through that, Claire? Because you must have clients with a whole host of different situations, different wants, different needs, different setups at home or in their life, different work, and life happening all over the place in different ways. So how do you navigate that?
Life just has a habit of happening, doesn't it? And we cannot control it. One thing I think that comes up, so I work with everybody on issues like this. I really genuinely think it affects everybody. But I think for women, it comes up quite frequently because we are often juggling so many different things. and we are holding an expectation, or others are holding an expectation of us, that we should be able to keep all these balls going and kind of do it effortlessly and wonderfully all the time. So the starting point for me is always going into, what are we believing in that moment when life happens? And either things feel out of control and they don't go to plan, and we find that difficult, that feeling of being out of control or not being able to predict what's happening. Or we look at the beliefs around what we think it says about us and whether or not it's okay to not be able to do everything, whether or not it's okay to make mistakes, whether it's okay to have to cancel a live with Penny and not feel like I'm letting her down immensely. Like there are the narratives that go on in our head are so key to understand when we can deal with the curveballs and kind of adapt, have some flexibility. And often that's an emotional flexibility, a kind of being okay with things being out of control or just the unexpected happening and we have to deal with it. Being okay with managing the stress that can come with that, but also understanding how our sense of self is tied up in this. So it's, there's a difference between me not wanting to have to cancel on you and, you know, not wanting to let you down in that sense, versus a kind of deep feeling that I've somehow messed it all up and it's unacceptable. That, you know, you can still want to show up and do the best job, but you can also give yourself some grace when you can't. And that's why I love that you've married up these two topics, because they go hand in hand.
Absolutely. And do you know what I think is quite interesting? I spoke at an event recently called Anything Is Possible, and we had some amazingly inspiring stories of ultimately how life happened in different guises and how they came through that. And I find it quite fascinating sometimes that you have to get into a dark place sometimes, or life has to happen for you almost to come out the other side and realize things about yourself. And we almost started having this conversation. Do you need to have that to truly understand who you are? You know, I often talk about losing control of my home and my experience after having children, and this idea that I almost tried to build back better. But did I need to fall apart in the first place to be able to do that? Or can we manage that without this kind of big life moment that makes us suddenly segue and be who we want to be?
And that's a really interesting point. I think often for people, the catalyst to go and get help or to work on things are these big moments where it feels like we go to a really dark place. And if you can take some learning from that, then I think that's a huge part of being resilient and saying, okay, you know, this is not tenable anymore. Or I've seen how it can feel when things really break or feel like they are so out of control that I just can't carry on like this. That can often be the real prompt that we need to do something about it. Too often we're kind of in that comfort zone where we don't quite like something, but it's not so bad. So we just kind of poodle along. And you must see this all the time with people's homes. If it's not intolerable, we often don't have the headspace, or we're not quite sure how to face changing it. I would say that we can get in there earlier and do something about it. But there has to be some motivation. You have to sort of see what the purpose is, what you'll gain from it. And I think that this is quite true of burnout as well. Often all the warning signs are there beforehand that someone is really stressed and overloaded, but it's not until they hit that burnout point that it kind of forces you to address it. So, yeah, I think getting in earlier is probably a more pleasant way of dealing with things. And it certainly is possible to start looking at the traits that are there. But yeah, maybe there's some truth in saying sometimes when we hit rock bottom, it really reveals what we feel is important in life, what our values are, what really matters. And it's a huge perspective shifter, isn't it? When we can kind of cut away all the noise and go, do you know what? That stuff just does not matter. Life happens and it can reveal to us what we really want to be focusing on.
There's probably a different scientific term for this, but I'm sure it was... someone that spoke about body confidence at the show last year, actually, that was almost saying that if you have like a dink in your dining room table, initially when it's first there, you think, oh my goodness, and the money I spent on that, and my perfect table, but then you just kind of get used to it, and then it gets to the point where you just don't even see it anymore. And so often I wonder if that is the case, where, you know, there might be, you know, whether it's either clutter or something that is not quite bringing you joy, but it's also not causing too much hassle, that you just kind of get used to it and then it just becomes part of your life, and then you don't actually really do anything about it, even though it could make all the difference.
Yeah, we adapt, don't we? We normalize things. So if there's something that is a constant, your brain has a way of just making it super familiar, because then we can kind of put it to one side, and yeah, you're right, we don't see it anymore. We don't see the mess. We don't see the dink in the table. We don't see the thing about ourselves or our habits that we know could be maybe more beneficial for us if we were to change them. So it takes a different kind of mindset, I think, to get in there before it hits rock bottom and say, you know what, I want to catch this and do something about it. Again, it's the motivation. Because what's your because, what's your why in wanting to change something before it hits rock bottom? And then we can be proactive instead of reactive to things. So yeah, the brain's got a cunning way of just making things seem super, super normal, super familiar, so that we just don't see them anymore. And some things, like, we can't sort of address everything, can we? There's so much going on in life that sometimes we do need to feel that pain point to go, okay, that's obviously important. That's something I need to look at, because it's really coming up as something problematic, either in how I'm feeling in myself or what it's stopping me from getting out there and doing.
So in terms of giving yourself grace, Claire, what are your tips, bits of advice around this? You mentioned resilience before. Is that incredibly important? You know, is it something that we have to learn and practice? Perhaps you might know some people that are really good at it, or be really good at it yourself. You know, how do they operate differently to people that aren't so good at it?
Emotional resilience is a really interesting thing. And I like to think about it as kind of learning how to navigate more smoothly over uneven ground. So when life happens, or and it could be big things that happen, or those small stresses and curveballs, we know how to navigate our way more smoothly. Not that it should never have bumps, because that's life, but that we're able to find our way through it. And emotional resilience is 100% a skill that you can learn. I think there's often a myth that some people are just born more resilient, or that is better able to deal with stress. You can learn this. And I think the people that are more naturally resilient maybe got modeled things in their childhood around how to cope with change, adversity, the messages they got around accepting that life is often out of our control, and not trying to control it, but being able to weave and move and adapt as we need to. And one of the key traits about resilient people that I really like is, well, there are two main ones that I love. One is they never waste time on saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? It's not fair. They just acknowledge that, yeah, stuff happens to people and we cannot avoid it. And there isn't any reason why it's happening necessarily. We just need to be in it and learn how to process our way through it. But they also have either a natural disposition that maybe they learned when they were younger, or they've learned how to do it as an adult. They actively reach for the good moments when life feels really hard. So there's a really nice reframe that anybody can practice, where if things are not going the way you wanted them to go and they are not going to plan, we learn to sort of strip away what stuff really matters and what doesn't, but then we also look for what's the good bit in that. So yes, we had to change our plans, but this is something lovely that came out of it. Or there's a really difficult life event going on, but look at these moments. And I apply this to myself, and I've done this with big things in life. When I've had family members seriously unwell in intensive care, one of the things that really helped me was looking for those moments of joy in the day. So that moment when my daughter would run into the hospital to meet me for dinner, that was just a joyful moment, and allowing myself to feel that joy because I needed it then when everything else was so difficult around. But also the things that in the grand scheme of life don't matter. When I was getting married many moons ago, we went to do the menu tasting at the venue. And this was actually at the same time that my family member was in hospital. So there was a lot going on. And we went there and they told us that the whole ceiling had fallen through of the venue of where we were going to use. And they watched us as we just kind of started laughing, like going, what else could happen? But making a conscious decision to say, but I'm still going to enjoy this moment. And actually the ceiling doesn't matter in the grand scheme of life. What I want to do is hold on to what are the things that are important. Why am I bringing all my friends and family together? What can I still get out of it? So that ability to adapt and be emotionally flexible and not get tied into an expectation of an outcome, a specific outcome. Yeah, it'd be nice to have something, but you don't need it. So being able to change your perspective is a huge key to being resilient, and anybody can learn how to do that.
Claire, do you believe that everything happens for a reason?
Oh, that's a good one. From my CBT brain, no. I think it's random. life's random, stuff happens. I understand. I quite like the whole concept of manifesting and karma and things happening, and there's things here to teach us. 100%, I think there's learnings we can have. Do I think things actually happen for a reason? No, I think things just happen, and then we choose whether we take a message from it or a learning from it, is probably what I think.
It's something I've been really thinking about recently, because I think I was probably brought up a bit in that capacity. You know, everything happens for a reason, it's okay, and this is part of it, and just navigate it. And sometimes I think I then not try and put that onto other people, but if they're going through a particular challenge, I'm like, you know, this was supposed to happen. But actually, sometimes that's the worst thing you can say, because actually it's just really, really pants that you're going through this. And, you know, and so I've really changed how I kind of feel about it. And sometimes it brings me peace in of some capacity, and I kind of trust myself to go with whatever that challenge is. But other times, more recently, I'm just thinking, no, that really is just a bit pants.
I think that's the purpose of that saying, everything happens for a reason. I think that's to help us to take something good from it, and I think it's to help us shift that perspective. And I think that's immensely useful, to kind of go, everything happens for a reason, gives us this sense that there is some order in the chaos of life. Because the feeling that everything is just random and out of our control and just chaotic is really unsettling. So I think we like to feel that there's a sense of like, no, this is happening to me for a reason. I do think often we subconsciously attract in things that we need to learn from. We can find ourselves repeating patterns in relationships, or we can find ourselves having the same dynamics playing out. And those things are happening for a reason. We're stuck in something that we need to change. But I think it's reassuring to have this sense that everything happened for a reason. The issue I have with this is, so the way you just phrased that, I like, when you said things happen for a reason and there's something positive you can get from this. I agree, sometimes people don't need to move to the positives. Sometimes they just need to be in how they're feeling and go, this just sucks, but I will get through it. But there can be another slant to that, everything happens for a reason, and that can almost be kind of blaming when someone's having something. So I don't see what is the reason for a child getting a terminal illness? What is the reason for somebody going through some horrific domestic situation? I there's something that puts some sense of responsibility onto the person when bad things are happening that I struggle with in that messaging, even if it's not meant in that way. So I choose to see things, I guess, more as the universe is all a bit random, but we choose how we show up and how we navigate our way through that.
Yeah. And the main reason I asked, we had a comment, I think it was from Joe, I've just lost it now. But that is something that I always, as I say, use as more of a tool, I would say, and I'm just kind of more aware of it now. But I think sometimes I think it can give you strength that actually this has been presented to me because I am strong enough to get through it, and I will. And that's how, for me, it can really give me that yeah, kind of boost, however you want to frame it.
Well, this is the power of reframes, isn't it? We find something that resonates and lands for us, and then that's a perspective that's really helpful to take. So use it as a tool. And that's so much of what CBT work is around finding reframes that feel genuine and plausible. They're just another way of looking at things that open up the space to feel and think and behave differently within it.
And Shelley, you are absolutely not a bad person, and as I say, that's why I kind of just wanted to mention something that I, you know, how I've been thinking about it before, that sometimes it just is really, really challenging, and it's up to you, you know, how you think about it. And you know, I've got a good friend of mine who really relies on her faith, and she can just totally entrust in that, and that's how she can find acceptance with things that are happening, no matter how hard they are. Whereas I know plenty of other people that actually, when bad things happen, that challenges their faith, and then so they actually lose their faith because of it. And I think it's so fascinating how we're all so subjective, and how, you know, when life happens, it can really actually completely restructure how you think or feel about things.
Yeah, absolutely it can. And it's how we choose to see things and what helps us to find our way through. And yet, Shelley, that's exactly my point. You summed it up so well. I do not believe that bad things happen to people because they are a bad person or because they somehow manifested it. I think things happen to people, and we need support sometimes to find our way through it. And if that's your faith, brilliant. If it's your resilience, brilliant. If it's your perspective that I'm not a bad person, I'm strong, awesome. That's what we need to hang on to, isn't it? It's what helps us to get through things, and to be in the mindset that knows that we can cope with things being out of control. control. And that's where faith gives a lovely framework for people to feel like there is a sense of some order, some control in a life that means we have to accept being out of control so much of the time because life happens.
In terms of giving ourselves grace and finding that easier, is there an element of lowering expectations of ourselves? This is something that I personally really, really struggle with, yeah. Always have done. Yeah. And if anything, every time I try to lower expectations of myself, they just increase, yeah. For whatever reason, because I've then got higher expectations of having lower expectations, and it would go around in this cycle. But I'd love to know what you think about that.
I love it. I would say lowering expectations is a very loaded term, and I agree. I kind of get a real pushback with certain clients if we sort of look at that. Often, and I'm not outing you in any way whatsoever now. I've no idea what
it's okay.
But often the people that have got sort of those perfectionist traits, which by the way is never about doing things perfectly, it's about trying to avoid coming across as a failure or being not good enough. People with perfectionist traits or who've been taught that they should attain these very high standards find the concept of lowering those standards really difficult, because that equates with being shoddy or shabby or half-assed about things. Instead, I think we change that idea of perfect to being a high achiever. You can absolutely be a high achiever and have high standards and still aim for those high standards, but you give yourself some grace if you can't always meet them, and you understand that's part of the learning and that we can't always do everything. So it's not that we should have lower standards. We should maybe just have kinder standards. So still aim high, but give yourself some grace. And for a lot of people, that feels hard to do. So I like to go in with the term just sort of being a bit friendlier to yourself and do a bit of a reality check. When you're berating yourself or you're feeling certain ways because you haven't been able to hit a standard, which often, by the way, people are hitting those standards. They're just not seeing it themselves, but to everybody else, they're meeting them. It's really good to either write down what you're saying to yourself, if you can hear sort of words or language playing out, or just see if there are kind of scenarios playing out in your head and tune into how you're feeling. Because often there's a sort of shame-based feeling when we feel like we haven't hit the mark and it's not good enough. And that's a real cue and a clue for you to know that something else is going on. And then you can reality check it. You can either ask yourself, like, would I say these same words about someone I love, or, you know, someone in my workplace, whatever, someone I know, someone else. Why am I saying it to myself? Sometimes just writing down the words you're using when you're giving yourself a hard time can be enough to kind of give you a bit of a jolt and go, why am I talking to myself in that language? Often we use language on ourselves that we wouldn't dream of using with anybody else. We can be so harsh. But when we put it out there and actually get it down on paper and see it, that can be a really nice perspective shift as well, to go, wow, I'm being really unkind to myself. Why am I talking to myself like that? And then we have a look at, where does that come from? Why are you going into this pattern? Why is that inner critic coming up so loud and so strong? What's it really about? Because usually it's about that. Am I good enough? Am I enough? So we do.
I think we're often that. I was just going to say, often we are, you know, wanting to be all things to all people and want to have everything. I certainly feel like I've been conditioned to that I should be able to achieve everything and do everything, but ultimately something has to give, right? And so whether that's because you need to ask for help with something or understand what your strengths are and then get more support or try in a different way to handle the things that are more challenging for you. But I think often we just think we can just keep doing this, but you know, to do more of that, something else has got to go.
Yeah, and let's not take away the power of conditioning, whether that's the sort of family model you were grown up with, but perhaps more powerfully for women in particular, the societal message that actually we should be able to do all these things and our sense of worth and value is placed upon it. So often, and when you bring it back to the idea of home, often when I think women often get judged on the state of their homes or the, you know, the, how they present their homes in a different way to men. And I'd love to hear if there are some men watching, how they feel about this. Because my view on it, and I'm very happy to be challenged on this, is that for women, there's a judgment that goes on that's actually about their identity as a person in a way that it isn't. So a messy house is just a busy man or a man who's just, I don't know, you know, that's just something that's going on. But for a woman, there's almost a sense of, yeah, we're failing in some way, and that our identity is linked to these domestic things because we've had this conditioning go on for so long. So that there's a sense of, I couldn't possibly let the cleaner in if it's the right state, or I couldn't have somebody around and there's a load of dishes in the sink, because somehow I would be judged as a person and my value would be questioned. And this is strong, and it's not necessarily conscious, but it's there driving how we feel and then what we do. And you're right, yeah. Something has to give. If we want to actually get out there and you know, create the home and the family we want and succeed in our careers and our work, something has to give then, because we can't do it all.
Yeah. Claire, I could talk to you for hours, and we're going to have to get you back in again. And I'd love to dive in more about the identity piece, because I really am totally fascinated by it. But I'd love, if there's any kind of final words or piece of advice or anything that you want to share, just to help people give themselves grace today and in the future, anything you want to share?
I would love for people to start tuning in and becoming more aware of the language they're using with themselves. And then I will challenge you all to just stop, pause for a minute, and say to yourself, I'm going to be a bit friendlier to myself right now. And then come back in with a different message that maybe allows yourself to not do it all, to drop something and know that you're still more than good enough, and that it's okay. It's human to not be able to do everything, and that having universal grace for everybody includes ourselves. It's really important that it includes ourselves as well.
I love it. Thank you so much, Claire. Look forward to chatting to you again soon. Thanks everybody for joining us today or watching this back, and have a really good rest of the day. Give yourself grace. Take care.
My pleasure. Bye, Penny.
Bye.